listening and watching all over the globe to our conversation, to just take a moment to feel our connectedness, to feel our common interest in conscious evolution. Just that you are aware. So many of us now really care about us evolving consciously into our next level of human expression. And today I'm very excited and I feel so honored that I can welcome you, Patricia Albert, to the Conscious Evolution Summit.
I'm very excited to be here and to be with you. It feels just, happy.
So just a brief introduction. So you are a contemporary spiritual teacher, I mean, since many decades. And you wrote a really wonderful book, The Evolutionary Relationships. And you are also founder of the Evolutionary Collective. And I'm so excited to have you in the summit because we know so much about individual awakening, but you are really specialized into what you call mutual awakening. So where we, in a we space, in a space which we share, kind of have an experience of a oneness and together awakening. And I'm super excited because I don't found other people really being experts in that, so it's really something special for me. And of course I'm super excited also to hear from you what did you experience and
what happened in your life that you got a taste of it and became interested to share this with the world.
Thank you. Yeah, it is new. I mean, the awakening together, which is different than relationship work. I mean, we've done relationship work, you know, since there was a man and a woman in the beginning and then all kinds of relationships since then. But this is very new. You know, it's still very nascent, very in its beginning. So the story, you know, the history of where it happened to me, because it was unbidden. I mean, I didn't look for being a teacher in this or being, you know, an innovator in this kind of consciousness. I met a man named Werner Erhard, who created the Landmark Forum work and asked, you know, way back in 1971 when I was 18. And I worked for him for 12 years. I was going to go to college, but that went by the wayside. And he was, you know, all the coaching schools came from our work. You know, so all the transformational work and the coaching schools was very much originated through the stuff that we were doing. And so I learned how to work with people individually, in a transformational way and then later in a spiritual way, you know, very effectively. And I loved it. You know, I loved being with people. I loved, you know, you'd work with groups. I did groups every night, but it was individuals working on themselves in a group, you know, which is different than what I'm doing now. And I did that, and then I studied with other spiritual teachers, you know, for many years and continue to teach groups. I'm getting a little bit of feedback. Yeah, I think it's okay. Does the sound okay to you?
Yeah, it's very
okay, good. I'm just checking, sorry. So what happened was when I, about 25, 30 years ago, I met the most beautiful German man, a mystic named Peter, in a spiritual community in the Rajneesh or Osho world, where many Germans were. You know, there were a lot of Germans that were involved in that particular movement. And when we met, I didn't realize the seriousness of what was happening. You know, I just thought he's beautiful, you know, we're in love, you know. But then it took on a life of its own, and he was a mystic and was wholly dedicated to enlightenment. He was very meditative. I mean, he never took a break, you know, like from the moment he woke up in the morning, he was bringing the consciousness from the other side. He was always in a connection with the divine, with himself, with consciousness. Never, ever stopped, you know, didn't just watch a ball game or do something else. And my devotion had been in working with Werner. I'd worked with tens of thousands of people, like over 150,000 people at that point. And so my devotion was love and transformation. You know, my heart was, you know, incredibly wholehearted and devoted and committed. So, you know, we fell in love. So it was like meditation meets passionate, wholehearted devotion, you know, bhakti love. And in the love of each other, he's clearly my twin soul. You know, there was something much bigger than just a wonderful attraction. The way we were, we entered into a dual awakening, which I've never heard of. Do you know what I mean? Like I'd never heard of then. I'm not sure. I haven't heard anybody else speak of that in particular. But these were two, you know, very wholehearted people, but we were not enlightened. You know, neither one of us was completely free by any means. But the way we were together and the love and the yes and the wanting to be close, wanting to be inside whatever experience was there, wanting to be in the truth, you know, like we were just so, like, I don't ever want to leave you. So if you feel, if there's some weird feeling, we would just go there. You know, we would go into ecstasy. We would go into irritation. We would go into whatever it was because we never wanted to be apart. So it was a very unusual way to be related because usually people are managing their relationships, not staying together in every single moment with as much depth as possible. And because of that, something greater just took us over and never let up. So we were taken. There's names for that.
Just a question in between. How would you recognize it? How did it feel for you that you describe it like that? We were taken, or we had this dual awakening.
In 24 hours, what would happen was, forget being with a guru. I mean, it was more powerful than any awakened teacher I'd ever been with. So the intensity, the love, the you know, we would make love, we would experience, like we would walk around and there were times where we would just go, you know, we were inside the same awakened experience. We would like point to a tree and go, do you see? And we'd be like, oh my God, you know, like we were inside awakened consciousness and love together.
And this and went for a longer
period.
It just kept going. Yeah. And then we would hit up against like some pattern in him or me that was blocking things. And then that would just start burning through in a way that you couldn't stop it. So there was a nonstop burning, awakening, bliss. I mean, at one point, so like 2 years into the relationship, we were together for 4 years. We took some ecstasy like twice. You know, we didn't do drugs. We didn't drink. You know, we didn't do anything basically. But that was sort of popular then. It was like in the late 80s. And so we tried it and we could experience like what happened. And we thought we go there all the time. Like it's kind of like ecstasy space. You know, we'd wake up in the morning and we would slip in and we would look at each other like, let's go walking on the beach. We're totally inside that space together. So we didn't need to do ayahuasca or any of that. It was really awakened between us. So what happened was the awakening was that we were inside an inner reality together that was shared. That's what's exciting. Do you know what I mean? Like what's new? Like you said, we've done tons of individual work. People have meditated for thousands of hours in caves and had an awakening that's subjective. It's all over here. You know, you could be sitting next to me thinking of taking vengeance on your neighbor and I'm experiencing oneness with the universe and they're two different things. I might feel my oneness with you, but you're not experiencing it. So we were together and I could feel him, feel me, feel him, feel something greater. We were something greater continuously. And then, so when he, and we were so wholehearted, you know, I mean, like part of what it takes to awaken this kind of consciousness is a kind of yes. You really have to just say yes and keep saying yes.
No,
you know, you don't.
But as you said, unconditionally,
you are there in an intimacy which doesn't stop.
That's right. You don't have the right to go, well, I don't know if I want to say this to him. You know, like it's, he could feel me all the time. Do you know what I mean? And vice versa. And there were times when I remember one time him feeling attracted to someone. I could feel the attraction move through him because he was a really handsome guy. And it was painful. But I felt it. It wasn't hidden. I did not know. You know, I mean, it was like we didn't have any, like, you don't get to experience that part of me. So, you know, that's more than what most people would want. Some people, but it did provide this amazing awakening that when he died, he was in a car accident 2 weeks after he asked me to marry him and was brain injured and then struggled very powerfully and then eventually killed himself because it was just, it's a long story, but it was too much. And I was left, you know, I understand Rumi, you know, I mean, I get it. You know, the just agonizingly, like you don't get over it. And so it took me many years of working through and raising my son and continuing to teach people, but I never thought that anything about that was something I was supposed to share. I didn't know about Tantra. I didn't know about anything. I mean, it was all just given because of how we were together. And I know that part of this consciousness is it's not manipulated. So it's not a consciousness that, you know, you're manipulating to get yourself into a certain experience. We were mystics. We surrendered. We gave ourselves over. We were not trying to make it do something.
For me, it was like you were kind of stepping into a river, which would totally anyway.
Yeah, very good. Yes, a torrent of something. So what happened was, you know, I continue to work with people and try to find my own way, and just the loss of him, but then the loss of this shared consciousness. And it was very weird because nobody knew what to do with me. You know, therapists would have their ideas, spiritual people would have their ideas, it's all in you. And I'd be like, but it isn't. Like, you don't get it. Like, there was something that nobody got. And so that was, you know, interesting. But then eventually what happened was, and I continued to work with groups, I continued to work with individuals, around 13 years ago, I just was feeling like, where's the new? You know, I was around when it was new. Like in 1971, a million people weren't teaching everything. And now there's coaches and therapists and shadow work and spiritual principles and all kinds of stuff. And I just was like, and everybody's working with people individually in their higher purpose. And I just thought, okay, you know, the field is so filled. People have got it. You know, that work needs to be continuing, but I don't want to do it anymore. And I stopped. I actually stopped for 2 years, and I was living in Boulder. And then different things started to come in about Maitreya. You know, I had some friends at Naropa, and that's like the future Buddha is a collective. And some different things were coming through in the body of Christ, and, you know, the second coming would be a body, not an individual. And, you know, there were these things coming. And then all of a sudden, I realized, and I had stopped teaching. You know, I really just stopped. And I got that it wasn't time when I was with Peter for the multiple beloveds, but that it was time. That actually where humanity was headed was not to do individual work forever. And true to form, you know, my karma or my dharma has been to be at the beginning of things. You know, like I end up before the beginning of things, you know, where nobody understands what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's wonderful and it's terrible. You know, there's a certain, I'm very grateful. And at the same time, you know, you're talking and your lips are moving and people are going, what are you talking about? And why is that even, why would anybody even want to not have it be all about them, you know, so, or their own awakening and, you know, the years, you know, the traditions back for 5,000 years. And I mean, none of it was, I was just like, so I got a small group together, the people that trust me and know that if they worked with me, their lives would transform in some which way anyway. And we had about 23 people, I think, was the first group. And we started to experiment with what was possible and what, and then I started to realize that what Peter and I had experienced, plus all of my teach, all of my training as a teacher, I was probably poised for this. You know, that this was my particular real work to do. Like, I've worked with thousands of people and I thought, now my work begins. And what happened was, we've been doing it for now 11 years. I just was at Asilomar with 90 of the people from around the world that are in a very committed level of commitment to this. And it was, we went someplace that a group of humans don't go. Like, you could feel like it was like there was pleasure from the divine of going someplace new, like being available for going into new dimensions of love and connectedness. And it was thrilling. So,
I even sense it just when you talk about this tingling, this excitement, this yes,
forward into that.
Well, the piece, I mean, and you're more the yes type, right? So what was exciting was it was the first time, like, we've been working like groups, you know, you get three people together, you have trouble, you know, I mean, you can have things, egos show up and create different kinds of difficulties and whatever. And so to have 90 people that have really worked in the purification and building, doing the mutual awakening practice and connecting, I mean, we are so, like, intimate and together and very awake. We have teachers from around the world. I mean, we have, like, serious people that are in this. And what happened was humans are taught in most individual work to navigate their relationships from being a healthy ego. So I'm separate. I'm kind to you. I listen, I think of what I'm going to say and I say it back and, you know, but there's separation in all of it. And we don't even realize that we are navigating through separation. Even if it's nice, even if it's very lovely. And even if I listen to you deeply, I'm listening over here and you're over there, right? So we've gone in, but when things arise, like Peter and I never separated. So if something was strange or it felt uncomfortable, we never left each other. We were in whatever it was together. And it's been so hard to get people to understand why that's important and to be willing to actually stay that close. Because usually when something funny happens, people tend to separate. And then they try to manage how they're going to be related, right? You know, if you feel uncomfortable, if somebody hurts your feelings or whatever. And this was the first time they actually, we have like, I can't do it here, but we have this whole teaching and the last piece like downloaded and they could see it. They could actually see what that was. And they literally started to go into that together. And it was pretty mind blowing, because if you can get humans to be in that level of spontaneity and togetherness and to not separate, we have a level of orchestration. Like if you can get 100 or 150 people to actually function that way, like for real, then the divine can do things with that large body of people as a body, as a being, with all the individuation available. And that's what I'm committed to. I'm very, very committed to larger scale saints, larger scale awakened beings. Because individual awakened beings is not going to save a planet that has 7.7 billion people.
And what would you say, Patricia, if one would be interested in a journey like
that? What does an individual need to bring or have developed or be dedicated in order to be kind of able to get a taste of what you share?
Yeah. Well, we have, I mean, that's the sort of hardcore, you know, prep part, which is very appealing to the people it is. We also have, so the way in is the mutual awakening practice, what is a half an hour practice, which we have a training, you know, we have like a 4-part teaching that I do online. Just like if you were learning how to meditate, you have to learn how to orient yourself correctly. Otherwise it never, you know, you're just sitting there thinking with your eyes closed. So we have a 4-part mutual awakening practice training to teach people how to enter into that way of being for 30 minutes with another person and to keep doing that practice. So they're like finding that space that Peter and I had and developing the consciousness to actually be there, not just when I'm with you, but to actually have my consciousness start to develop in this kind of intimate, open connectedness that works, that flows with my eyes open, talking. Big deal. Because most of us, when we want to go into a much deeper connection, we close our eyes, we slow down, and we stop talking. And that is not this. This is eyes open, connection, and then your brain starts balancing and opening. It goes into gamma frequencies. You actually move into a different place. Your language begins to move from conceptual naming to coming from, almost like a poet. It comes from the experience and it's hooking up both sides of your brain. So it's really quite, so there's a training, you know, there's a mutual awakening practice course that people can do online. And then we have a community. The thing that's amazing was in the last year, it's a year old in June, we created a practice community. So we do 11 group WeMaps. We call it WeMapping. Map means mutual awakening practice. So if you get on from Germany and I get on from California and somebody gets on from Israel, you know, there's 30 or 40 people. They get on Zoom. One of the teachers sets people up in the right space. And then you go into a practice with somebody from around the world that knows how to do this. And then everyone comes back and they're sharing and further coaching, kind of like a yoga studio. Like we have 11 classes a week. So there's two mini days. And we have people from all over the world practicing. And it's changing people's lives. From there, they get the ones who want to get hungry for the more, they kind of cook in the global practice community, and then they're like, okay, what, you know, what else can I do? You know, I mean, they continue to do that because I practice within the global community with people. Everybody who's in the core is in the community. But then some people start to want more. They want to go deeper with the people that are also dedicated to more. So we have it for both, which is kind of exciting. And we just opened up a teacher training and we have a lot of Europeans. We have Europeans and a woman from Israel. We have people that will be bringing it to, you know, that side of the world, which I'm excited about.
So one could, do I get it right, actually practice if he or she like it every day in a group?
Every day. There are people. Here's the thing. See, I wrote the book. You know, you're told you're supposed to write a book. So I personally, I think the book's great. You know, it's a best-selling, you know, we got the best-selling thing and I'm writing another one. I'm enjoying it. But what I love the most is being with people in the experience. You know, that's who I am. Like I want to be in it with you and with as many others as possible. You write a book to get people inspired to come. And that's so they understand it. So I write the book and then I realize, who am I kidding? Like, you read the book, you get inspired. What are you going to do? Yeah. You can't do anything. So then I said, I developed the practice course and then we got that part done. And then people learn how to practice, but then what are you going to do? You know, you're going to try to train your boyfriend or, you know, your mom or, you know, one of your friends. So we realized, okay, we have to do this whole thing. We have to have a teaching and then we have to have classes so that every day, and eventually there'll be 5 classes a day or 10 classes a day. People from around the world that know how to practice. No one's allowed on there that hasn't taken the practice training. they can get on and then you can go deep, and they are going, like, the things that are happening for the people is off the charts. There are people that never miss a day. It's like a meditator. Like, they practice every day with people all the time. It's amazing. So we finally have that. We've created it a year ago, and we have times that work for the Europeans and work for people in Australia. So, you know, it's happening.
I also signed up. I really want to try it.
It makes me so curious. And
you signed up for the Meet a We call. So good. That's good. I'm glad.
And I just wonder, I mean, I can imagine when, just from, I don't have the experience now, but when I listen to you, if I would be more in there, I just would love to be with people which know this practice and are able to be in the space all the time. So I would be interested that everyone around would kind of also.
Well, absolutely. But that's what, so love is contagious. Mm-hmm. This consciousness is different than non-dual awakening. So it literally is a different phenomena. And A.H. Almas, I don't know if you know Diamond Heart, but I studied with them for 8.5 years. And he's the only person I've ever heard, you know, barely speak. So he said this in a couple of places, not very publicly. But he said, he calls it unilocal realization, which is what I had with Peter. Unilocal realization is completely different than non-dual awakening. Different part of the brain, different, that's being, you know, like theta and delta are actually being activated. This is only with another, and I need you. Like, I can't go there without you. And if you're sitting back going, it won't happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to be as 100% as you can in the moment, right? We're still human. I need to be as 100% as I can, and then know how to enter into the consciousness together. So, like, to give people an example right now, if you put your consciousness where my voice is, so just let your consciousness enter into me where my voice is, and the people that are listening, if they just let their consciousness go to where my voice is, then all of a sudden you're inside, there you go. You're like already differently with me, right? I could feel you. Something just shifted.
Yeah.
And if you have a group of people and you say, come to where the voice is, you can actually feel the whole room lines up in one place. And the room comes into a slight more unity. Mm. I mean, that's the simplest thing. We have, as to use computer language, hacked into, like, all of these ways that it's possible to experience this unit of consciousness, and it's available to all humans. And yes, you want then the rest of the world. You do.
Yeah.
You really, I mean, you're like, please. And being a meditator doesn't mean that you can do this. You can if you want to, but it's very different.
So, and you kind of developed, together with people since years, methods which would kind of help to go inside of you, basically, just as you.
Yeah.
And I guess different methods.
So what's been coming, and I didn't realize it would happen, was, you know, when I started to go, well, how do I bring them into what Peter and I were experiencing? I mean, that was basically it. Like, there's a transmission here, but then what do I do? And so it started, and then it's continued to show itself to become more clear, more powerful. And then as people go into this consciousness, now we have many, you know, probably 1,000 people or more that have done this. The consciousness itself is building. It's like the more we're together and the more people are on those calls, like something is becoming more and more and more awake. Every time people do that together, it's not just my experience with you. It's like something's awakening, and then people are finding their way in more easily.
So what do you just get when I listen to you?
And please correct me, but it feels like a being body which kind of develops, and you can be aware from inside of this being body in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. I call it the interbeing. Mm-hmm. So it's everywhere. It's in the global community. It's extremely intensified in the evolutionary collective core. So, and you know, that when we're together, like when we were at Asilomar and we're all together, that's the part that's like fascinating. You know, it's really interesting because you can feel like the most intense part of it is like looking around and having new abilities, and it's kind of crazy. I mean, that's the part, that's where I feel like I'm in service of the divine, is in that way. Mm-hmm. That's my son, sorry.
And can you share maybe
just a few examples from your, from yourself or from other participants in your groups? What is an expression of this, or what changes when you get an experience and a taste of it? What effect has it on your life, on your relationships?
It's a great question. One of the things that has happened very powerfully, particularly for the core, and it's happening for people in the global as well, is this thing that I call issuelessness. So for the most part, we're focused on our issues, right? One issue after another. You know, we're working on ourselves, we're dealing. What this consciousness does as you're practicing and you're working in the way that we are, you're, this, instead of processing and learning and developing, you're, it's, we call it kenosis. And kenosis has to do with a dissolving or disappearing. So what happens is your fear or self-concern or worry about where you're headed or anger or, you know, the various things that we experience as human beings, as individuals, our patterns and our, you know, distorted emotions. You can feel, that's what happened to Peter and I. It was like we were getting more dissolved, mm-hmm. which is what love does. Because love doesn't fill you if you're in the way. If you have pride, if you have fear, the love can't get in. So you become more selfless. Part of what happened where that became clear was a few years ago, 3 years ago, I found I had breast cancer. And I'm not particularly somebody who's stoic. You know, I don't deal with, like, if I have pain, then, you know, it hurts. It's like I'm not like really good about those things. And what I found was because of the connectivity with the whole, with this interbeing, I was bigger. My nervous system was larger. And it was weird. It was like I had cancer and I had chemo and I did all the different things, but it wasn't an issue. It was amazing. It was kind of in the background. And then I thought, well, wait a second, I'm not good about these things. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not my nature. And so, and people started noticing that the way that their lives were, that they were more issue-free. Like, they weren't a problem. That, you know, they weren't making trouble with things. They weren't having to process everything. You're much more free, which is huge.
Oh, that's
huge, right? I mean, that's just like a little thing that happened that we noticed was happening without us paying attention. The other piece is that your consciousness becomes more sensitized to everything and everyone, and it's larger. So I can feel my body. I know what I'm sensing and stuff, but it's so much larger. I can feel you. I can sense, you know, my son. I can feel, you know, the people in the group. I mean, it's kind of all there. So I'm more attuned without having to attune. Like, there are people that I know study, you know, spiritual, whatever. And when they're looking at you, you can feel them reading you, and it feels annoying. I mean, it feels actually like it feels separate. Like, I'm spiritually tuning in and I'm kind of reading that you're feeling authentic about that. And I'm thinking, ew, like, get away from me. You know, that feels separate. It doesn't feel like you're in and with me. The other thing is that in the practice, when we're developing, there's a spondic, there's something called spondic love that we work with. And spondic means pouring out, like outpouring. So instead of self-love, it's self-giving. It's like I'm pouring through and I'm in and for you and you are in and for me. So it's the opposite of competition. It's the opposite of separation. It's like, it's beyond having your back. Like we are so being that way with each other that something begins to spiral up. And when you have that in a group of other human beings, even if you don't have that in your normal family life as much, you feel like you're not alone in a way that is utterly different.
Yeah, and I just
assume when you are in a situation like you shared where you have this and sickness, or like you had with cancer, when you are able to share this in that way with others, how you describe it can make, I assume, a very big difference than just dealing with it on your own as a separate individual person.
It's true. No, it was really, we really are in and with each other in a way that, like, one of the things that shifted about 6 months ago is we could actually feel like the livingness of life was going through us. So I could feel the mother with the three kids, and I could, it was almost like I don't need to live all those things because I am. And then I'm living my particular, you know, limited human life, right? You know, in whatever way I am. But it was like this feeling of all of it was I was somehow in and a part of in a way that was experiential and enriching. And it makes you not worry about what you're not living. Do you know what I mean? Like, instead of like, oh, she's, oh, you know, there's this feeling of truly being connected in a way that I think humans long for. I mean, I think we're longing to experience the level of connectivity that we deserve to have. But you can only do that with people that are choosing to. I mean, I can feel the other people in my life, but they operate separately. I can feel them, but they don't necessarily, yeah. And being met, here's the other thing. So I have to say this to you because I think you'll especially appreciate this. So another thing is many people long to feel met. Like, you want to go deep and nobody ever wants to go as deep. Or, you know, you have some brilliant ideas and you start bouncing them off and then people get tired and they don't want to hear about it. You know, it's like, and
you're so intense.
Yeah, you're too intense. Yeah. Or too sensitive or too I mean, like, whatever it is, it's like, okay, enough. You go back over there. And with this, part of what this consciousness is and part of what evolutionary, I think the one of the ways we serve the evolutionary divine, okay, you know, it's a certain kind of, okay, you know, worshiping at the evolutionary divinity of where the newness is happening is, so if you have a certain level of depth and I have a certain level of depth, you know, just like other people play tennis, you know, we have some capacity and we practice. The way that this consciousness goes is that we start to practice maybe on an ongoing basis. Maybe you're in the group and we're practicing for 6 or 8 weeks together. And we start going deeper and deeper. And we start meeting each other. And we go to a place where we're really feeling met. Like, we're finally going to a place where I know I have the capacity for it, you have the capacity for it. Then we go further. So then by being together in this yes, yes, we start going where we've never gone before. And we're like, you know, like, it's so exciting to actually go where you've never been before, farther, deeper, you know, more divine, more beautiful, like hard to bear, you know, that whole thing. But then if we continue and we still say yes and we are still available, we might be taken by the divine to places where the divine has never gotten to go. To me, that is the greatest, like, that's my favorite thing in anything, is to be able to maybe here and there, right, be able to be capable of going, of being a vehicle for the newness of where divinity can only go through us, but only if we're capable.
Yeah, and that is what
what is really the new, what I get really as new, where we really enter areas and realms which are really new.
Really new. No, and that's what I, you know, I'm constantly, you know, with the group is pushing them, you know, like have, like there's a certain loving demand of saying, come on, you know, like keep coming, you know, and people long to be called forth, you know, in this past paradigm of self-healing, everybody's so careful, you know, it's kind of like, well, if that's too much for you, just take your time and, you know, and all of that, which is important to know. It's important to be sensitive, to know and read compassionately where people are. But I think we've fallen over the edge of sometimes you want to be called forth to what's possible, not just, you know, is that too much for you? I mean, I think a lot of us long for that, you know, to be like, because Peter was impossible. I mean, he was always like, one more. And I loved it. You know, I was just like, you're the greatest man ever on earth, because he always wanted what was possible.
Yeah. And in a way, I mean, I always sense this, it's almost like a pull where I'm pulled to really lean forward into something which I don't know. And it's so difficult to describe, but in a way, I mean, I had a bit of similar experience like Barbara Max Hubbard describes it, this meeting her future self, the universal self. And this happened for me 1.5 years ago. But since this moment, I just can feel that I'm not so much concerned about issues, as you said. Yeah. I just lean towards that without knowing what that really means or is, or but I do it, and I just can sense that some things then just stop running. Some habits stop. And
they fall back.
I just assume, I mean, this possibility to be in that together with someone else or with a group is, I mean, is so exciting, because I'd only experienced it on my own, and that was already quite powerful. But to be in that with other people, this really excites me.
Yeah. Well, and it, besides exciting, there's a part of you that knows it has to be that way. You actually need to find the right others, because alone, finding your purpose, it's no longer it for many of us. It still is for many, but there's got to be at least a million or up to 5 million people that just haven't heard what we're saying.
Yep.
And when they hear it, something goes, wait a minute. What do they say? You know, they don't even have to know what we're saying, but something wakes up. Something's going, what, where, what, you know, like it's the future calling. Like you and I are from the same future.
Yep.
We know each other because we're being called by the same future, not the past and not the eternal present.
No. Yeah. And I so much also can sense, because with my partner, we are now together since almost 9 years, but we again and again hit a line, come to a kind of a border where we both know we don't want this kind of relationship anymore.
But you don't know what to do, right?
Done. It's not about being together like that, but we both on our own, we are not able to kind of enter in what we sense kind of is there already in a way. But I just have the sense with this work, this might be this, what we already feel. There is something there where we feel really this is a new way of being together. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. What you're saying too, it's really what comes through is some people would think maybe it's the person, but it's a new kind of relatedness that there aren't patterns for yet.
Yeah.
And we have that. Like we have many couples that come into the more intensive work as well as the global, and you watch them being inside the multiple beloveds. I mean, they have so much love. The other thing is when you have all these other people that are meeting you, but it has incredible integrity, and it's not about falling in love with anybody. I mean, you're kind of in love with everybody, you know, in a way. It empowers the the particular intimacy and the possibilities for the two of you and for families. And that I'm so grateful. It makes me happy because of what I experienced. You know what I mean? Like it's the best. You know, I mean, it's kind of like it doesn't, I mean, that's what humanity, I mean, I think the divine loves love.
Absolutely.
And we're primitive. Do you know what I mean? Like in the domain of what's possible with love and all it, like Teilhard said, we have to harness the energies of love. He didn't mean love like you think of love. It's endless and it's what's next. It's not more knowledge. It's not more technology. It's not more spiritual techniques. It's not information. It's really not. That is not going to take us forward. That has taken us many thousands of years, and we are very developed and very amazing as human beings. But it's not, that isn't the impulse to the future.
No, and what I like
really a lot is that in a way, being in an intimate, true way together isn't a luxury anymore. It's a prerequisite to make steps into the new. So in a way, evolution kind of really builds up this pressure that we need to to open up for being in that way together. So that's also a kind of, yeah. I really get it.
That's really true. And then the creativity, you know, I remember Barbara used to talk about super sex and, mm-hmm. you know, all that stuff. That's true. You know, that in these, what I see happening is as we've developed like this way of coming together in this super organism, right? This larger being, that will eventually be translated into families and organizations. You know, like when we realize how do we come together? What kind of integrity? How are we together so that we can really be this healthy organism that gives birth to whatever it's focused on, you know, whether it's a family or a sports team or an organization that's helping to, you know, farm. I think we'll be organisms of being. And there'll be a whole way that works, which is very different than organizational consulting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very different. So, you know, it's more futuristic, but I do think that also there are new babies coming. I mean, I think that, you know, in another 20 or 30 years, there'll be a new crop of humans that have come. Some people will have left the planet that are very separate. You know, I mean, I think that, you know, here's what I say is I figure that if the Big Bang, if we went from light to matter, and matter to life, those are miracles. Like no one can figure out how that happened. That we can go from this thinking layer of Earth where everyone is very developed and separate, to an awakening of love, to awaken love. I mean, if we did those other things, we can do this. Do you know what I mean? Like something has the power to do something that mind-blowingly extraordinary and earth-changing. So.
And that just, I mean, we step
kind of really further and further. And I'm also interested in what is your perspective about then also being able to being in contact or being aware of a contact also with beings from other planets, for example. Did you
when we in the work with the core, it's clear that it's coming from different, like it's a very different kind of awakening than the spiritual roots of the axial period. You know, all of the religions were born about 3,000 years ago. So they have certain roots, mm-hmm. and it's more earthbound, like earth, heaven. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about this, just in our own experience, I don't have any final answers, but we have like a way that it's more galactic. It feels, it includes the earth, but it includes the archetypes and the various other, you know, sort of spiritual dimensions that people are aware of from the axial period, the current axial period. But there's something more, like there's many more dimensions And often when we're practicing, when we do group practices, you know, we're working with three or four people and we're tuning in certain ways, you can feel like almost like something's trying to grow like a new mm-hmm. organ of perception. Mm-hmm. You know, like we have eyes, ears now, you know, kind of like we're not exactly, you know, like we need some new something in order to deeply receive and experience this. Like we do feel the extended nervous system and the heart and the flow between us. Do you know what I mean? Like there's certain things that you can actually sense are part of the body. But there's other inner senses that are beyond subtle sense. It's different. And so it's more of an exploratory.
Yeah.
Journey.
And I just assume that in a way this opens us also
to really, be open or to also perceive that we have much more senses available than just the physical senses.
Yes. So. And even the subtle senses. So a lot of spiritual teachers teach the subtle. So there's gross, subtle, causal. So the gross is physical. Subtle is thinking, feeling, energies, all that stuff. A lot of people teach that. We're actually working in the causal dimension. And the causal is invisible, hard to put your finger on. But that's part of where when you learn how to do the practice, you locate yourself in this causal dimension, this origination point, which is very unique, but it's you in the causal dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what changes everything. Like as you keep locating yourself there, it opens up. It's like you're a wormhole mm-hmm. to everything.
Yeah. And I guess that then also a sense of individual or of me might change dramatically.
It does and it doesn't. Here's the thing that's unusual is because this was born through love and the particular, like I think love is, this is why love is not it's not non-dual. Non-dual is you dissolve into the everything, right? Peter and I, like when I was with him in this consciousness and as built and built, I felt more particular. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't solid. It was like my divinity was being seen, but it was Patricia divinity. You know, it wasn't just like, you know, cosmic. It was amazing. Like it would be like we would be together and I would almost, it would be breathtaking to experience being that beautiful.
Mm-hmm. What I just get when I listen.
It's individual too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What I get when I listen to you is in a way, as if it is a movement in both directions. So the expandedness and the non-locality grows, but also inside the precise locality or the precise what I am in my speciality is also kind of getting intense and grows. So it grows in both directions.
It's true. And just like, I mean, I think if you even look at normal, like, if someone's brilliant, you know, if they're like a brilliant musician or, you know, they write music or something, you know, they start off and they become more refined. Mm-hmm. So the spark of their creativity is kind of coming from nowhere, but it's more precise. It's more brilliant. It's more of a perfect tone expression.
Mm-hmm.
You become like that as a human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you were asking some of the results. Compromise, your ability to compromise kind of goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And the sense of wanting to be more unlimited, you know, the hankering for safety and security that humans have
mm-hmm.
starts to, relax. Because if you're always trying to be safe and secure, you're not, doesn't work.
Yeah.
And you feel more safe. Like I feel so at home.
Yeah.
So I feel more. Here's another thing. For someone who never felt like they were at home, just in general,
mm-hmm. yeah,
except for when I was a Peter, I actually experienced being at home. And it's not because I feel like I belong to being on Earth. I just feel like something is at peace.
Yeah, and just, let's say, the from where I would
reference home or safety changes. So safety mm-hmm. isn't so small anymore in how I would perceive as an individual yeah. things which would make me feel safe. So in this sense, safety is also, it's not just also about this life in this body. It's much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
This yeah. what I get
that's
as
true.
Well. Yeah.
Totally. Everything changes. I mean, the thing that's exciting is when the deeper you go into this, the more you realize everything changes. Everything is being made new. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know.
There's no way back. So if you start going in this direction, that's a.
It's really different. I mean, you just, we're doing, I'm doing a 3-day intensive. That's the most intensive public thing that we do. And in New York at the end of June. And, you know, we kind of say to people, look, if you come, like, it's like we take people and a bunch of the people come from the core. It's like we're putting you in a spaceship and we're taking you to this world where it really is different. And we explain to you like what this thing is and that and how it works. And there's no gravity, but it's like this. And you get to actually experience being in this different world or paradigm. And from there, it either is like, oh my God, you know, I have to be here, or it changes you because you never can't see that. But you go, no, actually, you know, I think I'm going to do it like this. You know, I'm going to go over here. But it really, everything changes. Love changes, you know, forgiveness changes, the way you do relationships changes, issuelessness changes, the sense of self changes, the integrity changes. Your sense of scale, the sense of like, I went to do like, there's a man who was doing wonderful work, and it was like, you know, kind of constellation kind of work, somewhat. And so I went to visit him. He's a friend, and I hadn't been for 10 years in a situation that was very different than what I'm teaching. And he's really good at what he does, but he was saying like, all right, go in your body and sense into your root chakra, you know, and I was almost like, I almost got dizzy. I thought like, how do I shove myself back inside such a limited sense of being quote grounded? I don't feel grounded. I feel trapped. Like it just was weird. I couldn't do it. It was just no, that like the whole thing felt like, you know, I was being shoved inside this very small subjective space, and I thought I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. It's not helpful at this point. So I mean I did it a little bit because I like him, but
the image I get is
asking a butterfly to go back in a caterpillar.
In a cocoon. Yeah, that's right. It was kind of like it's goppy in there, and you know, I can get my wings in. Yes, that's really good.
Yeah.
So it does change everything, and that's really the right thing for the people that kind of get sparked. And it's not the right thing. I mean, in my experience, not everyone has to be at the beginning of something. Not everybody. Do you know what I mean? Like, but you do need the people that are ready to move beyond the individual work that they're doing. And it doesn't mean that you don't keep transforming. It's not like you're done. You just don't make that the main focus. Mm-hmm. It's just a little bit different. So, and you know, we have people that are, I mean, one of the things is you only have to be good enough awake. Kind of like good enough mothering. You know, you have to be a good enough mother to have it work. You have to be good enough awake. You don't have to be like super perfect. Oh, not necessary. Mm-hmm. So. But I'm glad you're coming to the call on Wednesday
yes,
night.
Yes,
yeah, that's great.
Yes. Because, yeah, I really sense this is the kind of newness I feel and I want to lean into. So, yeah.
No, I feel that with you. The other thing is if you want your people, one of the things they can do if they want is if they just go to the website, we just redid it, evolutionarycollective.com. And right on the front page, if you just scroll down, it says there's a starter kit. It says from me to we. And the starter kit gives people the first 4 chapters of the book for free, plus an e-course. So I wrote stuff that's not in the book for each chapter. So the first one is about the power of longing, like the difference between longing and desire. and how that can change your whole life. So, I mean, they're more than what's free. And if they want some scaffolding to kind of go, what is she talking about? And they can just go to evolutionarycollective.com and download the starter kit. Mm-hmm. Pretty easy.
And to do it, I mean, I want to do it as a couple. So kind
yeah.
of just, we just practice then also together.
Absolutely. That's wonderful.
Wonderful.
That's what, what's his name?
Shanti.
Shanti. Okay, cool. Very cool.
Patricia, I mean, this conversation I felt is really very rich, and everyone who kind of really feels there is something new to come and I want to step deeper, I will provide all the links. And I just want to give you the chance, if there is anything else you want to share with our audience for bringing this to a closure, you're welcome sure. to share.
Well, first I want to thank you. I mean, I felt I got you. Like, it was kind of like you already have that yes to evolution in the future, and you're a champion for that. I mean, obviously you have been for a long time. So I'm grateful and I honor you, and I'm glad you asked me very much so. And I'm sure the people that have been attracted to being with you and listening and following what you're doing, you know, those people, if anything sparked, you know, if this was kind of like, what, you know, even if they didn't understand it, just download the book, go a little bit further. We need at the beginning of things, we need people. The universe, it's not me. It's not even you. The universe needs people that are kind of going, what? To follow through and find out if in fact there's a call to them. Because whenever there is something new, humans have to say yes. That's, we bring something through, like the Renaissance. You know, people said yes to bring something into the world. We need those innovators, those people that are at the beginning, and it makes a difference. It's not nothing. You know, even if it's inconvenient, or, you know, everybody has excuses for the reasons why not to do things. to just realize that if you're hearing, it means that you're one of those people that's at the beginning, and it actually does matter for you to keep following the thread. So that's what I want to say.
And I also guess the more and more people are doing that and joining that, I just sense that it can be quite fast to go through
totally.
What you just shared.
Well, I think, I mean, we're doing some work with, you know, the platform and stuff. Like, I think, you know, this is my assertion. First of all the problems on the planet, every time I tune into the news, is separateness. Selfishness, separateness. Selfishness, separateness. Selfishness, separateness. That is the problem. We are not connected and we are not together. Everything, we could do it. Human beings coming together in the right way, we could do anything. I'm convinced. So it's actually pretty urgent. And what, yeah, so I mean, I want to say that. And then the other thing is that I feel with our global community, if we had people, if we had thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people from all over the world, instead of just doing yoga, right, they were practicing. So you got on and there was someone from Bhutan and you're practicing together, and someone from Japan. Like, if we were all inside this connection and love together every day, all the time, humans practicing, I think it would do something.
Absolutely.
I mean, it couldn't hurt, right? You know, as they say, but I think, you know, it's one thing to meditate. Tens of thousands of people meditating alone together is powerful. But if we're, it's gotta amplify that like crazy.
I mean, this,
so I want that. That's what I want to blow that up. Because
me too. I mean, this is kind of the reason also why I set up this summit, and I started it last year, and it was not that big, but I now connected to much more also bigger networks, because I also, like you said, I feel this urgency, and I feel that we need to come together and really step into the new. And I deeply believe that we can bring some change.
Yeah, no, you and we're sisters there.
Absolutely.
No, and it can blow up. You know what I mean? Like if we can get people in the consciousness, awake, and you don't have to be, we have people, you could be, you could be somebody who doesn't even like spirituality. You can do this practice. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? You can enter the consciousness, unity, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Humans can do this. Mm-hmm. We're going to have kids, teenagers, people in the prisons. I mean, we don't have to be so separate. The moment people find each other, you see, they look like they've been to a spa. I mean, their face looks good. So, yeah. So that's what I want to say.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Patricia.
Thank you.
I mean, I could continue this conversation because this is what I care the most. I love to make it the topic all the time. So I really appreciate that you took your time to be with us, sharing this mutual awakening. And I mean, yeah, I'm totally excited. I will join, and I hope, as you said, that people which sense, feel a spark also really just take this action.
Check it out.
Inside, yeah. Check it out and try it. Yeah. And and I'm absolutely sure that together we can really create or be available to move into our next level of human evolution.
Definitely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you also to everyone taking this time, listening, watching us, and yes, share it, spread it, tell your friends about that this is happening, because as we said, it can really spread around the globe. So thank you for supporting that.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.